Thank you, Shola, for that powerful song, and certainly the truth behind that is we have a powerful Jesus who has promised to be with his people, who has promised to sustain them and to provide for them as he desires. And so we are called to trust, and we are called to be faithful. You hear the children are being dismissed. It is the fourth Sunday of the month, so if there's any left in here and you haven't left yet, run. So, all right, the rest of you take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah 16 and hopefully make it through the end of chapter 17. Many see this as a single sermon that Jeremiah would have preached and was recorded. I'm going to try and be like Jeremiah this morning and make it all through. So appreciate your grace in that. But this weekend is Memorial Day, right? We remember the sacrifice of those who have stood in the place of danger, who have laid down their lives through their service, through their devotion and their dedication. They gave up something of value. They gave up their comforts. They gave up the opportunity for something else, to stand in the place of danger and to give their life. And we remember their sacrifice. And sacrifice is costly, isn't it? Sacrifice demands a price to be paid. It's hard, it's difficult, and it carries grave consequences often. And we recognize that as a country that we are free, but yet it did not come without a cost. And there are scattered across this world men and women who have stood in the face of an enemy that would seek to destroy us. And through their efforts and through their life, we enjoy, we are able to partake of part of what they have fought to provide, what we know of as freedom. And it is a sobering thing to think of, but yet we remember them with gratitude. And certainly as we think of sacrifice, and we think in biblical terms, our mind runs to Jesus, right? The only one who can give true freedom, eternal freedom, lasting freedom. The one who came and laid down his life so that sinners could have hope, so that the dead could once again know life, so that those who were excluded from relationship with God could be drawn in and could know the intimacy of walking with God, of having Him present with us. And certainly His sacrifice demands from us sacrifice. And Paul makes this clear in Romans chapter 1, where he tells the church there in Rome, these who are living in a pagan society and knew well the cost of being a Christian, of following Christ. He says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship, right? He calls individuals in Christ to offer themselves as a living sacrifice. And I bring that up because we have Jeremiah in chapter 16, 17, really throughout the whole book. He is a living sacrifice for God. You want to know what a living sacrifice looks like? You can look at the prophets. Look at Isaiah or Jeremiah, Ezekiel or Daniel. And you find that life is not fun. Right? It costs something. There is a price to be paid. Unapologetically, God calls His people to follow Him. Through the times of feasting and festivals, and through famine and hardship and difficulty. Again, this sermon number 2 on life, misery, and the pursuit of faithfulness. Because that's what he has called us to, faithfulness. And it entails our life and often entails, unfortunately, misery, humanly speaking. But understand that God is not absent. He is not in some way removed from the situation, but he has called us to faithfully persevere. And as we are called to be a living sacrifice, as we are called to live faithfully and really present a living testimony to everyone who would see us, we understand that God's call is unique and God's call is personal. And what Jeremiah was called to is different than what you're called to. But in the midst of our calling, faithfulness is required. And we can't get to the point where we write the script for God and say, as you have called us, this is what I want it to look like. Because God doesn't operate like that. Because if you tell God what he must do, you're God. And that's never going to happen. But we see here what God calls Jeremiah to, and it is not really in accordance with what you would expect. In verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah says, and this is what God said, "You shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place. For thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters who are born in this place, and concerning the mothers who bore them and the fathers who fathered them in this land, they shall die of deadly diseases. They shall not be lamented, nor shall they be buried. They shall be as dung on the surface of the ground. They shall perish by the sword and by famine, and their dead bodies shall be food for the birds of the air and for the beasts of the field." Jeremiah, you've been delivering this message, right? People have tried to kill you. People have come against you. They revile you. They hate you. And Jeremiah is called to move forward in faith. We need to understand that faithful following has personal implications. Our faithful following of God's plan for our life demands from us that we surrender to His will. And you think of Jeremiah, he is basically going to die destitute, earthly speaking. No wife and no children. And God says, "That's what I want for you." And again, I ask the question, who wants that life? And if you follow it all the way through, and you know, Jeremiah didn't even get to die in the land that he knew. He was taken away, died in a foreign land. And that was what God called him to. This aloneness often accompanies the people of God, and it shouldn't surprise us. Jeremiah recognized it in chapter 15. Remember in verse 17 and 18 where he says, "I did not sit in the company of revilers, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your hand was on me." God, out of all these people, you cut me away from the herd, and here I am by myself. But I'm not here alone because your hand is upon me. Faithfully following has personal implications. It's going to bring you to places that you don't necessarily want to be, or to enjoy things that you perhaps desire. We need to understand that faithful following has real personal implications. And if we're going to live and offer ourselves as a living sacrifice, we need to hear His call and His word. And follow as He directs. It's hard. But certainly there is a plan in place. And when you can look at why the Lord calls him to this life, you see there's wisdom in it. The Lord is preserving and saving Jeremiah from heartache, from hurt, from terror and dread, and to seeing the dissolution of his family. In many ways, preserving Jeremiah through his command that perhaps in the moment and at the day makes no earthly sense. We trust the wisdom of God as he guides and directs and as he leads us forward according to his word. Faithful following not only has personal implications, it also has relational implications with the world around us. Continuing on in verse 5, "For thus says the Lord, do not enter the house of mourning or go to lament or grieve for them, for I have taken away my peace from this people. My steadfast love and mercy, declares the Lord. Both great and small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, and no one shall lament for them, or cut himself, or make himself bald for them. No one shall break bread for the mourner to comfort him for the dead, nor shall anyone give him the cup of consolation to drink for his father or his mother. You shall not go into the house of feasting to sit with them, to eat and drink. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will silence in this place before your eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride." And God basically is telling Jeremiah here, stay away from funerals and stay away from parties. Because I am at work bringing judgment upon these people. And you need to understand, again, going back to what he said, I sit alone, that I am separating you out of this world. And in that separation, you are going to show yourself faithful to me. But that's a hard place to be when you see hurt and heartache all around you. And to be removed from that. As a man who understands the love of God and the hope that there is in God, don't go, if you will, and cast your pearl before these swines. I am destroying them, God says. You know, one of the hardest things to do as a pastor is to have a funeral for an unbeliever. It's so easy to try and preach that person into heaven. But it can't be done. And you think of, you know, perhaps the Lord is saving Jeremiah from a lot of difficult situations. And through all of this, preserving the truth, because you know what? For these people that have turned their back on him, there is no hope. There is death and destruction. There is nothing to remedy the situation. In the hardness of their heart, they have rebelled and defied the living God, and their judgment is upon them. What we see worked out here in history is certainly what is in store for those who live in this world apart from God. And whether it's the mourning or whether it is the feasting, understand, if you will, that there is this picture that is not reality going on. There is no comfort, and there is no reason to rejoice. It's just not reality. And Jeremiah, don't get caught into it. Consider the word of the Lord, consider the works of the Lord, and walk and live in accordance with what he has called you to. But understand that faithful following has both personal implications as well as relational implications. And we do well to choose wisely where we engage. Because in many areas, truth will not be received. Nor does the truth bring help or encouragement. These are some sobering thoughts that God has called Jeremiah to. But one thing is for certain, that faithful following always demonstrates a clear and consistent message. It must. Jeremiah, he was called to separate himself in many ways, but not to be disengaged from the truth. He says in verse 10, "And when you tell this people all these words, and they say to you, 'Why has the Lord pronounced all this great evil against us? What is our iniquity? What is the sin that we have committed against the Lord our God?' Then you shall say to them, 'Because your fathers have forsaken me, declares the Lord, and have gone after other gods and have served and worshiped them. They have forsaken me and have not kept my law. And because you have done worse than your fathers, behold, every one of you follows his stubborn, evil will, refusing to listen.'" Jeremiah, by your life, and really, you know what, by removing yourselves as I have called you to, you are going to invite people to come to you. Why are you like this? And by his life, he has separated himself from the culture around him. And when we live in a consistent way, we avail ourselves to be used by God to communicate his truth. Why are you different? Why don't you use those words? Why don't you participate in those things? Why don't you join in with us? What is it? And it gives opportunity to testify. And a life consistent with the message of God draws people to inquire. It gives opportunity for discourse. And most importantly, it gives opportunity for testimony to the Word of God. These people come and they ask, why? Why is the Lord bringing this upon us? What sin have we committed? And in a very basic sense, what is our iniquity? And I would just point out here that God called Jeremiah to call sin, sin. And that's hard in this day and age. And we're going to see that worked out here. He comes with the message. And you know, you shall say to them, and I'll sum it up here, you are not good. Doesn't matter what the Pope says, if you saw that. Right? It doesn't matter what he says. The Pope, this interview that was aired, I believe, last Sunday evening, said, "We are all fundamentally good. Yes, there are some rogues and sinners, but the heart itself is good." And I would say, Pope Francis, hear the word of the Lord. "For behold, every one of you follows his stubborn, evil will, refusing to listen to me." It gets even more direct as we make it through this passage, this sermon. But we can't be afraid to call sin, sin, and to be ready with that answer when people ask. You know, you think about the indictment, both here and what we had last week. You know, "I brought your fathers into the land. I brought your families out of Egypt, and I brought them in the land, and they were to execute judgment upon the people of Ammon. And guess what? These people I brought out of Egypt and poured all this time and all this effort into, they are worse than those people that I brought them out to judge." "You've forsaken me. You've not kept my law. You are under judgment and condemnation, and you will die." That's the message. But in the midst of that message, right? We'll get there in a minute. Keep listening. Faithful following must demonstrate a clear and consistent message. We don't shy away from the truth. We declare the truth of God. Not being afraid to call sin, sin. And not being afraid to call sinners to repent. Number four, faithful following communicates consequences. If we're going to call sin, sin, then we need to be able to detail that sin has consequences. And again, God's instruction to Jeremiah, this is what you're going to say to them. First of all, you are all evil. And starting in verse 13, therefore, I will hurl you out of this land into a land that neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods day and night. I will show you no favor. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when it shall no longer be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the people out of Israel, out of the land of Egypt. But as the Lord lives, who brought up the people of Israel out of the north country, out of all the countries where he had driven them, for I will bring them back to their own land that I gave to their fathers. Right? Faithful following communicates consequences. And the consequences are, and thinking back to what we saw, what was promised, right? There's the famine, there's sword, there's death, or there's exile. And the blessed ones in Jeremiah were the ones that went into exile, the ones that God threw out of the land and cast them into the other countries as a consequence. But in the midst of that consequence, what a precious promise God makes. As I drew my people out of Egypt and established them, you remember the first generation had to die in the wilderness because of their evil, wicked hearts. They didn't enter into the rest of God. They perished there. But that second generation, he brought them in, and through their dependence upon him, they conquered the land and they settled it as God said they would. And it's as if here in Jeremiah chapter 16, we've come to the end, if you will, of that portion of history, because there is going to be a new exodus. An exodus out of the lands to the north and that which lies to the east in Babylon. And I'm going to call them back, and through the mighty working of my arm and through the strength of my power, I will bring back into this place individuals who have been touched by the grace of God, a new redeemed people. There's a new exodus on the way, and let me tell you, that's called the grace of God, because you have a nation that is undeserving, but you have a faithful God who made a promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and a promise to David. And God will not relent. And he says, I will cast them out, but you know what? I will bring them back. Why? Because I entrusted a promise to their forefathers. And I am faithful. Continuing on as he communicates the consequences, behold, verse 16, I'm sending for many fishers, declares the Lord. I was thinking of Martin and Debbie and Jason and Brittany, not those fishers. There are other fishers, the ones that pluck up, the ones that don't return, the ones that catch and don't release. And afterwards, I will send for many hunters, right? These are the special forces. If the fisherman doesn't get them, they're bringing in the special forces, and they shall hunt them from every mountain and from every hill and out of the clefts of the rocks. The Lord's judgment will be all-inclusive. For my eyes are on all their ways. They are not hidden from me, nor is their iniquity concealed. You are not going to fool him, and you will not escape. And as the series title for Jeremiah, there is no place to hide. He will get you. He will find you. And that's part of the communication that Jeremiah tells these people, right? In the midst of sin and rebellion and destruction, there is a promise of God that he will make good on. You can trust him. But know this, that people are coming for you. and they will destroy you. And the wise person heeds the warning and the instruction and humbles himself before the word of God. The same imagery here of the fisherman is what Habakkuk uses in chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, as he's crying out to God, how can you use these wicked people to the north and to the east to do your work upon your people? He says in verse 14, you make mankind like the fish of the sea, like crawling things that have no ruler. He brings them all up with a hook. He drags them out with a net. He gathers them in his dragnet, so he rejoices and is glad. Right? These nations are coming and they are bringing their judgment, and everything is going to be wrapped up and snared into the net that he brings. And it seems as if the wicked are rejoicing. The wicked have won. That God's work in Israel has failed. But God assures Habakkuk it won't last forever. Because by his will, he will bring them back. He brings his people back. So we have faithful following always depends upon God's ongoing providential grace. And that's what we see here, his word of promise. Faithful following depends upon God's ongoing providential grace. He is true to his word. And not only that, but to bolster that, faithful following depends upon understanding his revelation and his plan. Right, God tells Jeremiah what's going to happen. He tells him so he can tell the crowds what to expect. And he says in verse 19, he says, O Lord, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in the day of trouble, to you shall the nations come from the ends of the earth and say, our fathers have inherited nothing but lies, worthless things in which there is no profit. Can man make for himself gods? Such are not gods. Therefore, behold, I will make them know. This once I will make them know my power and my might, and they shall know that my name is the Lord's. So he has established his plan, and it's not just arbitrary things are going to happen. God is moving and declaring his path forward in such a specific way that there will be those who will understand why he did what he did, and certainly to declare his great power, whether it is in judgment or whether it is in restoration. Know this, the Lord's power has been demonstrated. And Jeremiah, you know, he calls out in verse 19, O Lord, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in the day of trouble. Have you been there? Have you uttered those words? Has life seemed to overwhelm you? You got nothing else to reach for, nothing else to pursue, and you have the Lord, he's with you. And you cry out, my strength and my stronghold, my refuge in the day of trouble. It's only in days of trouble that you really find that out. As much as you don't like it, and as uncomfortable as it is, it's in those days of trouble when your faith is evident, when your trust and dependence becomes real, when he becomes truly all you have, and you know it. It's a place of strength. And yet it's probably one of the hardest places to be because you're vulnerable. But what are you doing? You're trusting in the faithfulness of God. And we go back and we read from Psalm 34 that we read from this morning. And what? It's in those times of darkness and times of hardship and times of difficulty that God proves himself. Those that pursue him will not lack. Oh, that we would taste and see that the Lord is good, that He is that stronghold for us in hard and difficult times. These people are going to know and understand the Lord, His power, and His might. And they have a problem, verse 1 of 17. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron. With the point of a diamond, it is engraved on the tablet of their heart and on the horns of their altars. While their children remember the altars and their asherim, beside every green tree and on every high hill, on the mountains, in the open country, your wealth and all your treasures I will give for spoil as the price of your high places for sin throughout all your territory. You shall loosen your hand from your heritage that I gave you. I will make you serve your enemies in a land that you do not know. For in my anger, a fire is kindled that shall burn forever. The Lord is unleashing justice upon His people. And I say His is those that were called to be His, those that were given the blessing of revelation, those that were disclosed, given the plan of God disclosed to them and what they were called to. But certainly we know that God's people are people by faith, by surrender to Him. And so you're looking, if you will, at squatters in the land, even though they are residing in Jerusalem. They are not, as Abraham was, a person of faith and reliance upon God. And God says, I'm going to come in and I'm going to clear this land. Their sin is engraved in them and they will not separate from them. Their worship is riddled through with sin and with idolatry. And it's sad here that they are passing that even on to their children, are partaking and participating in these things, right? Their children are there at the altars and their asherim, their gods and their idols. It's all around. It's spread all through the area. And God says, your wealth and your treasures, your heritage, your life, your family, your legacy is on its or on their way out. You will be overrun. God has revealed. God has told you. He has disclosed His plan. And for Jeremiah, it's to stay faithful, right? It's to endure and to testify, to continue to prove himself to be a living sacrifice with the hard message. Faithful following secures enduring treasure. The treasure that these idolaters had amassed, really that is evidence of God's blessing upon them, will be taken away. But not so for Jeremiah. He has a different treasure in a different place. And here as we follow on, we're going to see there's two types of individuals. There's the one who is cursed and there is the one who is blessed. And Jeremiah has just told us about the one who is cursed. There is no future and there is no hope. Verse 5, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. The problem is clearly identified there. It's the heart. The heart does not want to submit and surrender to the Lord. It is self-determined and it is seeking self-satisfaction. And with that, the cursed individual is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. There is no hope. Living apart from God, following the desires of your heart, lead to death, lead to destruction, lead to a wasted life, lead to judgment. But the other course is, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. And I like how that's stated there, right? There is a man who trusts the Lord, and it's easy to say, I trust the Lord. But then it follows up with this, whose trust is the Lord, right? There's a reality to his position that he has established through his relationship, right? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is really in the Lord. He's like that tree planted by the water that sends out roots by the stream. Does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. See Psalm 1 for more information. So much to be gleaned from these two verses. We could spend a month on them. What it is to trust the Lord. But what is the result from trusting the Lord? Because this is the result from offering yourself as a living sacrifice. You're firmly rooted. You're constantly fed. And you're not in fear as a result of it. What a powerful position to be in. When you know that the Lord is your provider, what can this world do to you? When you live with that confidence and that comfort, and there is no fear, there is no price to be paid for that. Because you can't buy it with the things of this world. It comes from knowing God, and it is part of the blessing that he affords his people. But what do we see from this? He does not fear when the heat comes. And Rod, the heat's coming. And the drought is coming. These are realities in life. And you got to be positioned properly and correctly so that you can persevere, but not just withstand, but to do it without fear. And how is that possible? Because you know that the Lord is with you, and the Lord has redeemed you, and he's made promises to you, and he is faithful. Faithful following secures an enduring treasure. What does it say here? Through the hardship, through the heat, and through the drought, it does not cease to bear fruit. It continues to show forth fruitfulness and bring a return on what? On what the Lord has provided. Jesus talks a lot about where your treasure is, there your heart is. There's a right place to put your heart, there's a wrong place to put your heart. There's a right place to put your treasure, there's a wrong place to put your treasure. One is safe and secure forever, the one is exposed to the things of this world, to thieves and rust, to decay and destruction. But not so with the man who fears the Lord, who trusts in him, and whose trust is the Lord. He will be proven faithful in this world, and there will be a treasure awaiting him for his faithful service. Perhaps one of the most quoted verses from all of Jeremiah. Chapter 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Verse 10. I, the Lord, search the heart and test the mind to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his deeds. And yes, the Lord is a fruit inspector. And he looks it over carefully. And he knows what your life, what everyone's life has earned, and what there are two types. There is the cursed individual who has, by his own heart and his own efforts, decided to go away from God and to follow his own desires. And there is the one who trusts in the Lord, who heeds his word, who understands his truth, and walks according to his plan. Verse 11, like the partridge that gathers a brood she did not hatch, so is he who gets riches not by justice. In the midst of his days they will leave him, and at his end he will be a fool. Speaking to those here who are trying to amass the treasure of this world, whether it be position or power, or some type of earthly, tangible thing, to amass all of this in an earthly thing, in an earthly fashion, you will end up with empty hands. It will all be taken from you. And such an individual ends up as a fool. Wasted life. Wasted opportunity, judgment to face. And so it really comes down to this. There's two types of individuals. There's the cursed and the blessed. There's the fool or the faithful. Do you believe it? Does your life reflect it? Do you hold on to the things of the earth, recognizing you are a steward? You are under the authority of the other, and what? It comes back to the heart. What do you desire? What do you long for? What are you willing to sacrifice for? What are you willing to give up your life, your time, your opportunity, your strength for? And don't think you're going to fool the Lord. He knows. Next, a faithful following understands the necessity of the Lord's saving work. So important. A glorious throne set on high from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. Those who turn away from you shall be written in the earth, for they shall have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living water. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Hope, healing, salvation comes only from the Lord. And here we see Jeremiah, he's holding on for life, if you will. Behold, they say to me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come. I have not run away from being your shepherd. Nor have I desired the day of sickness. You know, I continue to show up, Lord. I'm faithful in my obligation to what you have called me to. You know, continuing on, what came out of my lips. It was before your face. Be not a terror to me. You are my refuge in the day of disaster. Let those be put to shame who persecute me, but let me not be put to shame. Let them be dismayed, but let me not be dismayed. Bring upon them the day of disaster. Destroy them with double destruction. And we see here Jeremiah living faithfully for that day. But he understands in the midst of that his salvation will only come by the Lord's saving work. And he understands that, but he continues to pursue the life of faithfulness. I have done what you have called me to, and I have been faithful in it. And so he can confidently say, you are my refuge in the day of disaster. Because disaster is coming, and you need the saving work of the Lord to preserve you. Right? It's the good news of what we know of now in the new covenant of the gospel, that there is appointed unto each one of us a day we will die. And then what? The judgment. And it is by grace, through faith, in the work of God in Christ, that we have hope, a refuge for the day of judgment, that we will not be put to shame, that we will not be dismayed, that we will not be destroyed. And I hope and pray that you know and understand that salvation. Finish up here quickly. Following, faithful following declares the word of the Lord, and this speaks directly to our call as individuals in this day and age. Thus the Lord said to me, go and stand in the people's gate, and by which the kings of Judah enter, and by which they go out, and all the gates of Jerusalem. Go, Jeremiah, make yourself visible, and say, hear the word of the Lord. You kings of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter by these gates, thus says the Lord, take care for the sake of your lives, and do not bear a burden on the Sabbath day and bring it by the gates of Jerusalem, and do not carry a burden out of the houses, your houses on the Sabbath, or do any work, but keep the Sabbath day holy as I have commanded your fathers. Faithful following declares the word of the Lord. As Jeremiah was set to go and to say, so we are called to go and to say. And what does Jeremiah go and say? He goes and reminds them of the word of the Lord. And puts before them, God says, put before them the obligation they have to serve me on the Sabbath and to do what I have asked them to do. And he reminds them of their obligation before the Lord. And certainly we know, and it's clear in other places of Scripture, that God brings His judgment because of their neglect of the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is tied into what? Trusting Him. It's not my efforts and labors, but it's His. And it exposes the heart, and it comes at grave consequence. But as Jeremiah continues to be sent forth, he delivers the word of the Lord to them. And in essence, he's telling them, do not be fools and think you can live apart from my word. And we finish up then continuing to look at that. Faithful following declares the word of the Lord. Yet they did not listen or incline their ear. Does that surprise any one of us? The world we live in is given to its own desires. They do not listen. But what? Even more than that, they stiffened their neck that they might not hear and receive instruction. Verse 24, but if you listen to me, declares the Lord, and bring in no burden by the gates of the city on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath holy and do no work on it, then there shall enter by the gates of this city kings and princes who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, and they and their officials, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall be inhabited forever. If you listen to me, there is a place, there is a home, there is a treasure, there is a place where there will be peace. And we know ultimately this is with Christ, as He is the fulfillment for the throne, the one who will sit on the throne of David. And when He comes, there will be peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And there is an inheritance that will belong to each of His people. Verse 26, and the people shall come from the cities of Judah and from the places around Jerusalem, from the hill land, from the land of Benjamin, from the Shephelah, from the hill country, and from the Negev, bringing burnt offerings, sacrifices, grain offerings, and frankincense, and bringing thank offerings to the house of the Lord. But if you do not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy, and do not bear a burden and enter by the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in its gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and shall not be quenched. There is a responsibility when you hear the word of the Lord, and that is to respond. And as you respond, there is a reward. And that reward entails an eternal relationship with Him. We know and understand from this there is a near picture, right? Because the Lord is faithful. And the blessing we have of looking at the Old Testament, He sent Israel, or He sent Jerusalem and Judah into captivity. Faithful to His word, He brought them back. And we can read in Ezra and Nehemiah, we can read about the return of the people to the land. Those who were exiled were brought back. They were brought again into relationship to worship and to praise. God was faithful to His word. And so when Jesus says, I am coming soon, we know He's coming soon. Are you ready? Are you living as He has called you? Are you offering yourself up as a living sacrifice? Are you going and declaring the word of the Lord? Are you standing on the promises of His truth? Are you withstanding the heat and the drought without fear? Are you testifying to the reality of your relationship with Him? It's our promised blessing from God. To forsake that, you would be a fool. And I hope you're not there. Let's pray. God, help us to not trust our heart, but to heed your word. God, help us not to reach for the things of this world, but Father, by faith, to continue to follow you. Lord, help us to be faithful in our following. You know our frame. You know our frailties. You know that we are prone to wander. And Lord, how blessed we are that in Christ we have your Spirit within us. Help us, Lord, to continue to, as you have called us, to deny ourselves, to take up our cross daily, and to follow you. Help us, Lord, to offer our lives as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. Help us, Father, to not listen to this world that says we can have it all, we can be it all, we can do it all. But Lord, help us to hear your word and to be shaped by it and to be fed through it and to be content in it. And to possess that peace that passeth all understanding. Lord, help us to live as you have called us, to live in faithfulness. For the glory of Christ, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.